Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Greg Hoffman in for Sheehan, hour two. Here we go. Joining us this hour, Wes McElroy in just a second from down in Richmond at training camp. Grant Paulson joins us at 7:45 to talk about the Max Scherzer and Trey Turner deal. In the middle of those things, starting a little bit later this segment even, we will play Grade the Trade, 301-230-0980. What you think of this Scherzer-Turner deal for the Nats or the Westbrook trade for the Wizards? We will get to your calls coming up in just a second. But actually, yesterday afternoon, was able to catch up with my good friend Wes McElroy. He hosts Middays and has hosted, I think at this point, he's hosted in every time slot in Richmond, down on our sister station down there, 910 The Fan. And I wanted to talk to Wes specifically because the relationship between Richmond and the Washington football team has just continued to evolve over the years. And so I think that's all really the setup that it needs. I think we kind of get into it fairly quickly. So here's my chat with Wes yesterday afternoon, hearing it for the first time here on the Team 980. Wanted to have Wes McElroy on the show as he joins us on the BetQL guest line to talk about the city of Richmond's relationship with the Washington football team as they continue their training camp down there, but in a very different manner than we've seen it before. So, Wes, I guess we'll start here. Like, what's the vibe in Richmond as the Washington football team comes to town, and how does that compare with previous years?
I think it's probably, like a lot of places, there's curiosity. I don't know if I would go as far to say optimism, because it feels like every time a Washington football fan finds themselves in an optimistic place, the rug gets pulled out from underneath them. And I'm actually working on my column right now for the Times Dispatch Sunday writing about this. I think there's general curiosity, and I say that because being out there for the first day, you know, it's never – training camp's never going to be what they originally thought it would be. And it's never going to be what it was the first year when Robert Griffin III was here and you had – between 6,000 and 10,000 people here every day, and it was crazy and it was loud. You had about 3,000 people there yesterday. I would say you probably have close to 2,500 for the second day. It's a good vibe. It's a good atmosphere. People were enjoying it. People were into it. Now, you have COVID guidelines and restrictions as well, but I would say for the people that were there, there's a good energy and there's a curiosity of what this team was able to do last year despite all the hurdles, to what they brought in the offseason and what some are wondering they could be this year.
So it sounds like that so much of the attention is actually focused on the team, because there was a lot of angst about the relationship between like the city, the government, the amount of money that was being paid, and the franchise. And they redid the agreement, so it's a very different arrangement now. Is the new arrangement, I guess, much more feasible, where people are, you know, those that care, or at least can be excited about the football operation, and also the fact that the football operation's better doesn't hurt that regard either.
Yeah, Craig, and look, I think some of the stuff we don't even know yet, the arrangement between Washington and the city is done. That expired last year during the pandemic year, and this was a previous mayor, not to get into all these politics, but previous mayor, previous governor, Dan Snyder, Bruce Allen, they made this arrangement, and it was terrible for the city of Richmond. And I am not a taxpayer of the city of Richmond. I live in Henrico County. But if you lived in Richmond, if you had a child in the school district, it was obnoxious. It was just a horrendous deal that you wondered how in the world it ever got done. And there were a lot of political factors going back to the previous mayor and governor who wanted Washington here. They liked the exposure. They thought it would help for the new stadium. That deal is done. And that is a mayor ago. And I would even say now with Jason Wright taking over operations, that's a Washington administration ago. Now, You factor in that the mayor here has said, LeVar Stoney, multiple times on record, hey, we would love to have Washington here. We would love to have them come here for training camp. We're just not paying them. And he has said that openly. He has said that adamantly. He has said that to Bruce Allen in backdoor meetings. I know that. He said, hey, look, they can't justify it, not with all the things that the city needs. I think fast forward to where you're at right now. Literally on the day last year when the pandemic shut everything down, March 12th, Ron Rivera was supposed to come down here and have a public tour of the facility with the mayor. There was supposed to be a press conference. And I don't know if we would have had training camp down here last year if there wasn't a pandemic. I don't know if it would be what we are having right now. I think there's two things at play. I think Ron Rivera and Jason Wright know that they have to have better public relations in this outside area. I also think Ron Rivera is taking a look at the facilities for himself. They're down here for 5 days. It's the early part of camp. They're in shells right now. They're in helmets right now. So they need to bring all their equipment. But I think Ron Rivera is in evaluation mode where, hey, I took the Carolina Panthers to Spartanburg. We were down there with them. I like the camaraderie of going away for camp. Do I want it to be here? Also, the other part that's of the unknown, eventually, wherever the stadium may be, there'll probably be something what the Patriots have in a practice facility that is adjacent to it right there where they don't have to go away. And if that is in Virginia, which now during the governor's race that's upcoming, that'll play part of it, the sports gambling aspect, yada, yada, yada. You're looking at a lot of questions here, but there are a lot of people who want it in Virginia. And until they build that, there are a lot of people who would love to say, hey, while you guys take care of that up there in Northern Virginia, keep it down here in Richmond for a couple more years.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Wes McElroy, 910 The Fan, with us here on the Team 980. Craig Hoffman in for Kevin Sheehan this morning. All right, you were out there. Let's talk ball. We haven't done this in a while. This feels good. What was your big impression from day one of training camp, being out there, getting to see football again with your own two eyes?
That I got to see football with my own two eyes. No, it was. It was, you kind of stop yourself at certain moments for the things that we haven't done in so long. Like, I made a joke the other week. We were at the ACC kickoff for ACC Media Days, and you see people that you see on Zoom calls every day and you talk to every week, but you have not seen them in the physical person in a long time. So do you do the handshake? Do you do the hug? Like, do you do the bro hug? The fist bump? But no, it was just seeing football. It was seeing guys out there. It was seeing some drills. And, you know, there's only, Craig, you know this, there's only so much you can do and take away with guys in helmets. But to see formations, to take and to stop and go, wait a minute, I'm looking with my own eyes, checking out formations. I'm looking to see who's working at right tackle, who's working in the backfield, who just dropped that ball. And, you know, there's Taylor Heinicke throwing a deep ball to Samus Reyes, everybody going crazy. That was my biggest takeaway, just actually seeing guys out there and seeing in person for myself.
I talked about this on the show yesterday, but here's your first couple of days of camp. Key word of advice. This came from Kevin O'Connell. He told this to Kyme and I a couple of years ago, and we were like, man, readjusting. And now you guys have had a year off from doing this. See a little, see a lot, see a lot, see a little. That's how you survive training camp.
I like that. I'm going to write that down right now.
There you go. We all got something out of this call. Wes McElroy, listen to him. You can all over, including wherever you are right now on the Odyssey app. Of course, if you're driving through Richmond, check him out, 910 The Fan down there. Wes, always good to talk to you, sir. Hopefully I will see you in the flesh sometime soon. Until then, stay safe. Tell the family we send our best, and thank you for the time here on the radio.
You are missed at training camp, but it is nice to be able to listen to you on the Odyssey app, my friend. Take care, Craig.
It's Wes McElroy on the BetQL guest line. I'm going to be honest, Dar. I maybe missed the training camp. I really only miss training camp so much.
There's only so much you can miss being in Richmond in August.
I actually love the city of Richmond. I genuinely enjoy visiting there. But yeah, it's hot as hell. And like after about five or six practices, you kind of get the point.
I've been to a couple, and I don't think it's ever been lower than 97 degrees.
You adjust. Your skin just becomes leather.
You were telling me about how the U.S. Women's National Team was training in that facility at UConn to get used to the weather in Tokyo.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what training camp does to you. You just train every day in the hottest weather imaginable.
100%. It is, like, if you can survive training camp, you're good. I also used to be really amazed at the schedule those guys kept, because I would, like, as a reporter, right, peel back the curtain. You want to meet with guys, coaches, players. Like, you want to try to have, and training camp's one of the rare places where you get the chance potentially to do that kind of thing. And there were so many times where, like, I would be talking to a player, say, after practice, and be like, hey, like, do you have time? And it's obviously, like, it's not some random player. It's like a player that you maybe developed a relationship with over the course of a couple of years. You're like, hey, you want to try to grab dinner later? Or you want to try to grab whatever? And they'd be like, yeah, I'll let you know. I don't think I ever had dinner with a player once in Richmond. Because it would always be like, hey, man, just got called into this meeting. Like, and it's not, I don't think they were ghosting me. Because, like, I'd see them the next day, and they'd be like, man, I'm so sorry. Like, that got nuts. But that was the thing, is every day it got nuts. Every day they would wake up, they'd have their morning meeting to prepare for practice that day, have morning practice in the middle of the day, because you'd be like, hey, can you get lunch? Like, no, I need to go home and treat my body because I am a dead person. Because those practices, like you just said, they're hard. Like, you're going hard, it's hot as hell. Like, it doesn't feel, you're beating your head against the same dude for 3 weeks. Sleeping in a hotel bed. And so you, by like 3 o'clock, you then are starting to get yourself back together. Maybe you go take a nap, get yourself back together. You're also watching practice tape, because that's a thing that happens. Go back to walkthrough. You get your lift in. Get dinner. Like a bite to eat, like something quick. And then they'd have evening meetings until like 9 o'clock. So like there'd be times like I get a text at 10 o'clock and be like, hey bro, sorry. We just got done with meetings. I thought we'd be done at 7. I was like, what? So the mental grind of that. And then you play your NFL season. I actually think it's probably like better for players to do what they're doing now. Like, let's go have those 4 days down in Richmond. Little getaway, little team bonding, feels good. And then get the hell back to Ashburn and sleep in your own bed. Because that daily grind of the nutso schedule that they have during training camp, like, that is not a schedule for the faint of heart. Play Grade the Trade in just a second. U.S. Women's National Team playing the Netherlands 15 minutes in, just like Jason Anderson predicted an hour ago here on this very radio show. U.S. pressing the mess out of Netherlands. They have come out flying. Unfortunately, it's still 0-0. They just, that ball looked like it was almost in. Hit the post. That last shot. Is that Heath, Dar?
I think it was Horan, but yeah, they're really pressing up right now.
Yeah, and then Tobin did have a goal that was waved off, so U.S. putting the pressure on. But, alas, it is currently 0-0. Sweden just went up on Japan, also on the women's side. We'll have a fuller Olympic update. Obviously, we have the ones from Westwood One at the top of the hour. When we get to what's trending at the bottom of the hour, I will also fill you in on some of the other goings-on over in Tokyo. And Dar, we were just talking about this in the last break too. Like, track and field is getting started right now. I think there's like the 800 meter heats that are happening, and they're really putting the heat in heat. It is currently 80 degrees and 75% humidity in Tokyo. And typically at the Olympics is where you see a lot of world records fall. And over time, obviously, you see Olympic records fall. I don't expect, if there's going to be that kind of heat and humidity, I don't expect to see a lot of world records, because that is some thick air to run through and not exactly prime optimal performance weather. But it's going to be fun. The track's getting started as we enter week 2 of the Olympic Games. Obviously, knockout rounds in soccer going on, knockout rounds in basketball. We've already seen USA win gold in the 3-on-3, which is cool. But let's get back to the local things that are happening here. We're playing Grade the Trade, 301-230-0980, the BetQL listener lines. You get to pick your trade, the Scherzer-Turner trade that the Nationals are embarking on should be finalized today. I mean, obviously, it has to be finalized today. Or the Russell Westbrook trade. Or, hey, maybe you really love the Aaron Holiday trade. Which, by the way, I really like the Aaron Holiday trade. That's a good trade. Get a good player, defensive-minded, long, athletic. Like, this team, this Wizards team has an identity all of a sudden. So, that's cool. Dar, unfortunately, I don't have a call screener computer over here. So, if you just want to give me who's up ever on the phone in my ear, or we can build a Google Doc, however it is that you would like to do it. I think I see someone on the phone over there. So, if you just want to tell me in my ear, and then we can happily welcome them on the old radio. Chris is in Maryland. Chris, thanks for calling. You're on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Greg Hoffman here this morning. What's up, man?
Hey, I'm shoot for Grade to Trade. Did I hear, though, later you're going to have Grant on?
Yes, which will help me grade this trade because Grant knows prospects better than anybody, and we'll be able to understand the other side of this trade a lot better.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask you to ask him, is break down these prospects, because I don't know much about them other than they are top rated, and I do grade the trade. I know we love Max. We're going to miss Max, but we'd only have him for two more months and for nothing because we're not in it. We're toast this year. So I like the Nationals trade. Now, Trey Turner, I believe that he wasn't accepting any extension on an offer, whatever they were. So now is the best time to move him. Otherwise, he'd be, what do you call it, the incumbent, or, there wouldn't no future. And so basically, I look at it like we got two top prospects for Trey Turner for one more year. And I like the trade, so I give it a B+, A- for the Nationals.
Okay.
I know it hurts. Hey, but Max will be a free agent in 2 months. And the Wizards, for heaven's sake, I think Westbrook is only good in a running offense. I don't even see what the Lakers, I don't think it was good for the Lakers. And for the Wizards, why not? And yeah, they got out from under all that money. And I don't think they were going to win with him necessarily either. I love Westbrook, but I'm not certain. You know, we saw in the playoffs, it slows down half court, and Westbrook is not a half-court player, in my opinion. But they got rid of that, so I'll give that a B+, A-.
There you go.
And yes, and if you would, when you talk to Grant, yeah, Jeff, he can break down. That's my opinion on the trade, but if he can tell me a little bit more, and even ask him, does he think we'll see those guys play the last 2 months for the Nationals?
That's a good question. I will certainly, in talking about their readiness, ask Grant that. Thank you very much for the call, sir. Generous grades from Chris this morning in Maryland. B+, A- range for both trades. I don't know that I disagree. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the Turner part of this. And that's the only area where I'm like, I don't know. Like, seems like he had a lot of time. He's really good. Why would you trade him? But if these prospects turn out to be great and they're 19, 20, 22 years old, along the same timeline as Juan Soto, like, you could be building a behemoth for the future. So, and also getting kind of more of that information on the contract situation with Trey Turner is essential, because he's not a free agent until after the 2022 season, but like, that's not that far away at this point. So if you can get more value by trading him early, that seems like a good idea, not to send him into a lame duck year. So we will ask Grant Paulson about that in about 25 minutes, but more of your grades next. We play Grade the Trade. Pick your trade: Nats, Wizards, or both. Happy to take dueling grades. And let me know what you thought of the trades. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. I'm Craig Hoffman in for Kevin Sheehan on the
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Team 980.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Woo! Craig Hoffman with you on the Team 980, Team USA, U.S. Women's National Team. Soccer down 1-0. Early goal for Netherlands. They're about 25 minutes in. Just scrubbed away a free kick. Didn't give ourselves a chance. Knocked it out of the park. Not great, Bob. Not great. What are we doing here? Grade the trade. With no one on the phones. 301-230-0980. How's the optimistic way to phrase this? All the lines are open. 301-230-0980. Dar, I haven't asked you. What are your trade grades here?
I think for the Wizards, it's an A. I think getting it off of Westbrook is a great idea. He put up stats. It was fun while it lasted the second half of the season. You're not going to win with him, and that's unfortunate because he's such a good player when he's healthy, and he wasn't healthy the first half of the season. But this is what happens when you trade for older players whose entire game is based on athleticism. It just wasn't always going to be able to be kept up that way, which is unfortunate. For the Nationals, I don't know anything about prospects. It sounds like they got two really good ones and two middling ones. So to me, it doesn't seem like enough to get two of the top 10, a top 10 pitcher and a top 10 position player. Seems weird to not get more than just two top prospects. So I'll say C plus, B minus for the Nats and an A minus for the Wizards.
I need to talk to Grant, as we will, at 7:45 to get a better understanding of where this prospect haul lies. But Jessica Kleinschmidt, who is a baseball writer, as this trade started percolating yesterday, she tweeted out, the Nats are about to get someone's firstborn. And it doesn't feel like they got a firstborn. It does not feel like they got remotely the right one USA on the board. It doesn't seem like they remotely got the right return here, because giving up Turner is like, that's nuts. You should get a king's ransom for Turner and a king's ransom for Scherzer. They should be getting two king's ransoms. It doesn't feel like they got two king's ransoms. Let's go to Matt in DC. Matt, thanks for calling. You are on the Team 980.
How you doing? I give the Nats trade a B plus. You just kind of stole my thunder because I thought, you know, they would have got more a overhaul for Max alone, not to mention Trey and Max together. I thought, you know, they would get something like, you know, if you were trading Mike Trout or something like that, you know, I thought they would get that kind of a haul back. So I give it like a B plus. You get something in return for them, but you don't get the return that you should have. When it comes to the Wizards trade, I give it like an A minus, only because they're still, you know, moving parts. You know, you could possibly still move Beal, or, you know, you can add some pieces. So that's a little bit of a mystery. So I give it an A minus. But I honestly do think that the Nets lost that trade, especially at two high caliber players.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Matt. It's so hard to win a trade when you're giving up the best player in it. And like, this has always been the thing with like NBA trades, is how do you make it so that, like, if you're the if you're Oklahoma City a couple years ago in the Paul George trade, you're giving up Paul George. It's really hard to win that trade. Paul George is a very good player, but they got such a substantial return, in part because the Clippers knew they had to give up a lot to get Paul George to make Kawhi sign there. So it was kind of like you were trading for Kawhi and Paul George, and Oklahoma City was the beneficiary. But it's almost impossible to win that trade, because the whole point, again, this is my whole point with like the Beal trade, or the lack of Beal trade, is if you trade Bradley Beal, you're hoping to get draft picks and or young players that turn into Bradley Beal. You already have Bradley Beal. And in a way, like, that's why the Nats, it's really hard to win this trade. You're trying to get someone who is going to be as good as Trey Turner. And so you trade away Trey Turner. Let's go to James in Largo. James, thanks for calling. You're on the team now.
Hey, so I'm going to rate still both trades as an A. Follow me with the Nats one for a minute. If it's true what we heard about the Lerners and them pretty much not wanting to extend Trey Turner, I feel like Rizzo was kind of caught in a desperate situation where you're not just going to let him walk next year in basically a lame duck year. And probably the Dodgers knew that. And the Dodgers probably played a little bit of hardball and said, okay, we know we want Max. Cool, we'll give you prospects for that. Throw in Turner because we know he's basically going to be a lame duck player next year. And obviously next year, there's not going to be that much of a halt to trade him because teams can just wait his contract right out.
So, James, let me you know, re-ask you the question then, because I think you raise a really good and interesting point. What do you give the Nats trade if we subdivide it, the Nats, like organizationally, and then Mike Rizzo? Because I feel like those are two very different grades.
Okay. So you're saying the Lerners itself?
Yeah, basically. Like, if they're the ones that are handicapping it, because at the end of the day, like, if you're a fan and you're trying to invest yourself in winning a title, like, you don't really care. Like, you only to a point care why. You care, like, to analyze it and have, you know, complex thoughts as a human being. But at the end of the day, if the result is to win, if the Lerners are putting some kind of monetary restriction on, like, that's part of the grade. Like, if they handicapped themselves, they did it to themselves, you know?
All right, so if it's that, I put the organization, a.k.a. the Lerners, a C. I put Rizzo an A, so let's put it at a B, B+. Plus.
I like that. James, that's a really good point. Thanks for the call.
No problem.
Well, that was awkward. Really, really crash-landed that one. That's on me. Sorry, James. I'm sure you had something else smart to say because that was a smart call. Let's go to Jeff in Silver Spring. Jeff, I'll try not to hang up on you.
Thanks, Greg. I'm just going to start with the Nats, and I'm perfectly fine, and I'm just going with all that they've got rid of several people in addition to Scherzer and, sure, and Turner. I understood they got rid of Schwarber as well. They traded Hand. They have a period of time now because of what they've done in the last 8-9 years. I mean, I just hope there's a strong foundation. And the only concern I have is that for trading Scherzer and Turner, they got basically four guys in return. And hopefully two of those guys really pan out and they're a strong foundation. But I'm just concerned about what the overall return was. If nothing else, they could have maybe traded Turner somewhere else and gotten more, because I thought he had a full year left after this year.
He does.
So that's kind of my concern. I understand Scherzer, they're basically trading someone who has 2 or 3 months left, and then they could conceivably try to re-sign him. I know that's not completely realistic at this point based on whatever direction they're going next season. But I think they bought a lot of time, a lot of goodwill since they're the last team that won a World Series in a full year. And, you know, this is not 20, 30 years ago, and we're just kind of laboring, kind of like the Wizards or the Washington football team. So I think they have a lot of time here, and hopefully they can rebuild and it won't be painful like 2008-09 and that, you know, kind of period. But they're, you know, within a couple of years, they will be a solid team again.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point too, is like how part of the equation here is that these players have already done something. So when I say, you know, you hope to get someone as good as Trey Turner, well, yeah, but like Trey Turner's already helped you win a World Series. So like in part, the Trey Turner story has played out. You're trying to get someone who can help be the next one and win the next one. And so if you think that period's over for Trey Turner with you as a Nationals, not because you think that Trey Turner's done being a good player at 28, 29, or 30, but that he's not going to re-sign here, then I understand that as well. Let's go to Jordan in D.C. Jordan, thanks for calling. You are on the Team 980.
Good morning. I don't get the whole Trey Turner thing. And I'm still waiting for the organization to come out and speak on the trade. I'm not aware of any communications from them, but I trust Rizzo. I think he's one of the best in the game. So, the jury is still out, obviously, on these prospects and will be over the next couple of years. But you're hitting it on the mark. I mean, you know, as far as not understanding who these prospects are, even though, you know, two out of the four apparently were top 50 prospects in all of baseball. So, great. I'll give them a C+ for now. And as far as Rizzo, I'll give him a B. As far as the Wizards, I'll give them maybe a B-. So that's my take. I appreciate the time.
Yeah. Thanks, Jordan. And just to clarify, no one from the organization has spoken about this trade because it's not officially. It hasn't happened yet. I guess technically I should have been saying all morning. As reported by ESPN's Jeff Passan, amongst others, but that trade hasn't officially gone through. It should get finalized today, and we'll see if in the finalization it changes. All right, we're going to be quick with Marvin and Kevin. I don't want to leave you guys hanging, and then we're going to get to Grant Paulson. So let's start with Marvin. You are on the Team 980. You got 30 seconds for a take and a grade. Ready, set, go.
All right, well, it's really fast. It's an institutional fail for the Nets. All the way down from the learners letting it be known that they were not going to sign them. So to me, it was an F grade for the Nets, because they shortchanged themselves by opening their mouth before the trade deadline. And then for the Wizards, I'm going to give them a B+, because I like moving on from Westbrook, because I think they needed to change the tenor of the team. They needed to get more defensive. They need to start being a better three-point shooting team. They prioritize shooting in the draft, and I like that. So that's my quick hot take and my grades, B+, F. For the Nets.
Marvin, that's the best call I've ever had. Mission accomplished. He did it. Kevin, in Upper Marlboro, you got a lot to live up to following Marvin. Here we go. 30 seconds. Take grade. You can go one trade or both. Ready, set, go.
Hey, with the Nationals, the season ticket holder, the learners are F. Rizzo, a C, because he was part of the reason why the farm system is the bottom of the league. He made those different trades, giving up prospects, renting players and stuff like that. It reminds me of the Senators back in the day when they gave away their prospects with Bob Short before he sold the team. It's ridiculous. And with the Wizards, I believe that's a B+. I'm glad to get off of to Westbrook and get some other players in there to help Bradley Beal.
Kevin, you did it! A+ for Kevin! He even dropped a Washington Senators take.
I didn't think we were going to stick the landing, but we did.
We did it. We got a 10 from the Russian judge. Let's go. Just kidding. Russia's not in the Olympics. Coming up next, Grant Paulson will inform us on all of these prospects. By the way, USA, USA, up 2-1. They scored twice in that segment. What a great segment here on the Team 980.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready? Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, where all guests appear on the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. I'm Craig Hoffman in for Sheehan today. Chris Nocke's in Monday through Wednesday next week. Then I'm back Thursday, Friday, and then Kevin will return as it is time for football. That is Kevin Sheehan's time of year. All times of year are Grant Paulson's time of year. My boy's got range. GP joins us now on that BetQL guest line to talk about this Nats trade. Grant, good morning, and sorry for the text that my watch Siri apparently sent you to end the last segment. That was weird.
I love it. That is very weird, but that's hilarious. The technology, man, it happens.
If you're like driving and not on Twitter as we do the show, I just tweeted out the screenshot of this. As I was teasing Grant coming on, somehow my watch, Siri on my watch, picked it up. And so Dar turns my mic off to end the segment, and I hear my watch go, okay, I'll send that. And so Grant got a text version of my tease of him coming on. So that's fun. Nobody cares. The prospects that the Nats are getting back in this deal. Enough, not enough. Initial thoughts when you saw the haul.
Yeah, so I guess it's complicated. I would start by saying I'm whelmed. Like, it's a fine to good haul back, and they did really well to get the Dodgers' top two prospects, according to MLB Pipeline, at the start of the year. But I think you have to at least first address the fact that Trey Turner was not going to be re-signed, and apparently they figured that out a year and a half out. Like, they had all of this offseason still to re-sign this player, and they'd already come to the realization organizationally that they were not going to do that. And I think that in and of itself, when they didn't re-sign Harper or Rendon, is a major story. But if you just set that aside for a second, and then we talk about, okay, in a world where, hypothetically, Turner was not going to be retained, and they already knew that, which is part of my issue and which is a little bit of a frustration, then I think that this was a very fine trade. I look at it as I believe that, you know, they may have been able to get a little bit more if they were either taking on money or if there was slightly more controllability with either player. But it was a rental on Max. It's a year and change of Trey Turner. And so to get two really good prospects, another guy that might help you in the bullpen, and a fourth guy that could end up being an outfielder for some power off the bench, you could do a lot worse. I think they did okay. I'm excited that if, in fact, the reality was Trey Turner wasn't coming back, they just got themselves their catcher of the future in the middle of the rotation starter who's going to help them for a while.
So the Turner part, let's dive in, because I saw this yesterday and was floored, had no idea, and obviously you're following this a lot closer than I am, but when I had been talking to like the Jesse Dougherty's and the Matt Weiricks and all the guys who, and gals who cover the team, they had always talked about this trade deadline as acquiring pieces to build around Soto and Turner. So what changed, and how did we get here?
So it's a really good question. I mean, we first heard Trey's name come up as a trade chip or a potential piece to be moved within the last week. And I think it was really surprising, but it all kind of started with this Peter Gammons report that he said that ownership was not going to be signing him long-term and was kind of unwilling to pay him what Francisco Lindor got. And so that was the first thing that came out a handful of days ago that kind of changed this whole conversation. And so now you're dealing with this reality, if you believe the Peter Gammons report, that whether it's now or whether it's next deadline or it's just next offseason where they let him walk after not trading him for draft compensation, like Rendon and Harper before him, Trey Turner's leaving. And so I think, and this is speculative, but what I believe is you're in full-on sell mode now and you're Mike Rizzo, and you're deciding, okay, if I know that eventually we're not re-signing Trey Turner, then I've got to get as much back for him as possible. And he's more valuable with the most possible term left on his contract for his new team. So I could wait till the offseason and try to move him. In an offseason, mind you, where Carlos Correa and Trevor Story and Corey Seager and Marcus Semien, all really good shortstops, are free agents. Teams can sign those guys without having to give up prospects. And then I'm trying to trade Trey Turner against that market, or I could trade him right now to a contender and get as much back from him as possible. Now, I take issue with the fact that you can't sign him, that you can't seem to ever sign any of your big bats. But if that is the reality that you're working with, then what they did yesterday made some sense. You know, it's just a matter of, are you willing to accept this idea of this major market ball club in Washington, D.C., being the Marlins or the A's, essentially, where it seems like they're never able to re-sign any of these elite players.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Grant Paulson's with us. Of course, you can listen to him afternoons over on 106.7 The Fan, also SiriusXM Minors and Majors, where he has an encyclopedic knowledge of all the prospects in Major League Baseball. And we'll dive in, double-click, if you will, to borrow a term from your show on some of those in just a second. But how did we get here with that part of it, the part you just referenced, where Harper left, Rendon left, now Turner was going to leave, but they trade him before he can leave. Like, what is it about this organization? What does it say about it? And what are the circumstances that created that environment and atmosphere?
I think the first thing, Craig, is they have a philosophy where they pay pitching, not hitting. Right? They pay arms, not bats. That's fine. And they've won a World Series, and they can say that that's evidence of them being correct. And I will tell you that paying pitching, particularly starting pitching, is the best way to stay relevant. And the evidence is very real, and it's right here, right? They've been really good since 2012 until last year. They were the best team in baseball other than the Dodgers and the Yankees in terms of wins. Having said that, I just think it's extreme. And I don't deal in like absolutes with rules where I say, well, I'm only going to pay something. And I don't know that they necessarily would tell you they do either, but it's very clear that that's how it's worked out. And what I mean by that is they've paid Scherzer $200 million. They paid Strasburg the exact contract that Rendon got when he left, $7 and $245 million. To their credit, I guess we should point out that, you know, Harper, who I don't think they should have re-signed in the end anyway, has been really good. But I don't know that you would say, you know, they won a World Series since he lost left. I don't know that you would say that that was the wrong decision. Rendon's been hurt all year and hasn't been particularly good. So, you know, they may say, and I'll disagree because I think they should have kept Rendon specifically, but that they made the right decisions. I think the annoyance for people is this, though. The first two of the guys we talk about, Rendon and Harper, and Juan Soto now, are all advised by Scott Boras, who's the best agent in baseball. Fans may be annoyed by him, but he gets his guys paid. That's his job. And those guys are going to free agency. That's how it works with him. Trey Turner is not. Turner's agent is DeGrom's agent, who signed a contract ahead of free agency. He has other clients who have done that. So my thought all along was, okay, Soto's going to free agency. You couldn't sign Harper. That was obvious. Rendon was going to free agency. They're Boris guys. But Turner isn't. So if you went to Turner a couple of years ago and tried to get him a deal in place, I don't know why that wouldn't have happened. But that didn't, and here we are.
Here we are. Now, where we are is having you on to talk about prospects. Let's go. Let's have a prospect party. Tell me about Keibert Ruiz, as you termed him, the catcher of the future now for the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, Keibert Ruiz is a switch-hitting catcher who, according to Baseball America, in their new top 100 they put out mid-season, is the number 16 prospect in all of baseball. He has played in the big leagues in a limited capacity each of the last two seasons, and in a few games here and a few games there has a couple of home runs. He's got some power. I've seen him play at Futures games where all the best prospects in baseball go play during the All-Star festivities. This is, I would say, other than Adley Rutschman, and you can quibble with another catcher here or there, probably the best catching prospect in baseball outside of Baltimore. This is a guy that has a chance to make All-Star games. Now, that's the upside. That's not a lock with prospects, obviously. But he is the centerpiece, the elite player in this package, unquestionably the number one player they get back, a catcher who will be their signature player behind the dish and should be an impact player at the plate. I think they'll trade Yan Gomes today. He's then their catcher of the future. And then they've got a competition with other guys organizationally, including a player that they brought in yesterday, Riley Adams and the Brad Hand deal, to be their second catcher. I think he replaces Tres Barrera. So they probably added both their starting and their backup catcher for years to come in yesterday's deadline.
Inside baseball here, I got 2 minutes until a hard out. I want to get two questions in, just letting you know.
Got it.
We also see Josiah Gray in this deal. You mentioned him earlier, potential middle of the rotation starter. What's the scouting report on him?
Yeah, drafted initially by the Reds, was traded for Yasiel Puig to the Dodgers. He's lost a little bit of kind of luster, I would say, or people used to think he was a front of the rotation guy. He's pitched a little bit in the big leagues this year and given up some home runs, but he's got 13 strikeouts in 8 innings. Stuff is plus, mid-90s fastball. Complete, you know, four-pitch arsenal where this is not a reliever. A couple of the other guys they got might end up in the bullpen. I think he's a safe bet. His floor is, you know, third starter type who's going to be in your rotation eating innings for a while. Really, really exciting arm.
Last thing, the Schwarber deal, the Hudson deal, the Hand deal. Anybody of note coming back here that we should be like, oh, by the way, also the Nationals picked up that significant guy?
Yeah, I really like Aldo Ramirez, actually. The Schwarber return, I like that a lot. He's probably like a fourth starter in the end, but I think he's going to be in this rotation for a while. And I think they got a major league contributing piece for a guy that maybe wasn't going to be here next year and is hurt right now anyway. So I like that. I mean, they did fine. And other than Turner, these were all no brainers. I think that's what people need to understand. Everyone who's had an expiring contract and was going to be out at the end of the year should be moved. If you're going to be moving Trey Turner, that's the mode that they're in.
40 seconds to spare. Grant Paulson, he's a pro's pro. Listen to him this afternoon for a lot more on all this stuff on 106.7 The Fan, across the hall, SiriusXM, minors and majors, if you want to get your scoop on all the prospects weekly. GP, always good to talk, my friend. Appreciate you getting up early with us.
Yeah, be well, Craig. Thanks, brother.
Grant Paulson on the BetQL guest line. All right, we have a stacked final hour of the show. Chris Miller, I haven't even told people this. Chris Miller's coming on next. Chris Miller from NBC Sports Washington on the Westbrook trade, on the NBA draft as a whole. Then Mitch Tischler will move Washington football at 8 to 8:30. Stacked final hour coming here on the Team 980.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.